Tony Smith is turning his life around with the help of the devout and devoted Lilias Landrum.
He had been like a godchild to her, and then they formed a relationship.
They said Tony really loved Lilias.
Like, wow, man, what you got some good game.
They pledge their undying love, but there's a hitch.
Their husband said, don't divorce me or I'm coming after you.
I think it was temporary demon possession.
And their unholy alliance is severed by a horrific sin.
Tone didn't know Lilias was married.
The beheading of an individual is it's emotional, it's passion.
Love may be blind and marriage bliss, but divorce is murder. After 15 years in Hollywood, Lilias Landrum is closing the curtain on her acting career. The 40-year-old returns to her hometown of Akron, Ohio, older and wiser, but just as beautiful as the day she left.
Her eyes, her hair, her skin tone was all the same color. You looked at her, and when the sun was on her, it was like she just glowed, and she had a glow about her.
Over the years, Lilias has had some success with small roles on TV shows like Gimme a Break and Family Matters.
She really enjoyed the California life and the whole LA and you know, film scene.
But Lilias's family's needs trump her desire for fame. Her mother has a heart condition, and her stepfather has throat cancer.
Lilias is very giving, and she just wants to take care of people and help people. As much as she loved being in L.A., if her mom needed her, she was going to be there.
Acting jobs in Akron are few and far between, so Lilias finds work at a mortgage company as a loan processor alongside Donna Simpson.
Is he kicking? Oh, kicking like crazy.
She had been back not too long, probably a few months, when I met her at the mortgage company. She knew I was pregnant, and so she like immediately was drawn to me because she loves babies and she loves anything to do with children.
The friendship deepens when Lilias gets her own place near Donna's.
Lilias didn't drive, so she would take the bus before I came into the picture, and we live actually about a mile from each other at that time. And so, I mean, it just made sense. I would just drop her off and pick her up because I was just right there.
Sorry, I'm late. Who's that?
Oh, that's Leonard, my roommate. It's a temporary thing.
Lilias has a roommate, not because she needs the money, but because Leonard Fisher needs a place to stay.
He was living there because he didn't have a place. He had just gotten out of jail. He was kind of in transition, and Lilias was just kind of helping him out.
Lilias has been helping ex-cons integrate back into society.
Lilias said that she met Leonard through jail, was writing to Leonard in jail.
She was always looking to assist other people. She was always looking to help those who maybe had problems in the past get on with their lives, become productive individuals and citizens. She was a woman who was always trying to take in wayward souls.
Lilias is quick to help in other ways as well. She joins the Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church, where she volunteers as a counselor for drug users.
She would listen, and she'd volunteer, and she would do the counseling, and she would talk to people.
Does anybody want to share?
Lilias is also helping another young man trying to turn his life around, Tony Ramel Smith.
I was in a very dark place, but I'm living proof that you can overcome.
Tony had a troubled childhood. I think he was in and out of some different detention homes, so he really didn't talk about his past too much when I was interacting with him.
When I first met Tony, it seemed like he was running for something or somebody. I don't know if it was drugs. I don't know if it was guns.
I'm so glad you're helping out.
Tony now volunteers at the church with Lilius.
I think you're an inspiration.
Thanks. Hey, you should come out to the studio sometime, see what we're doing down there.
He had some troubled times. He seemed like he was more so just looking to help people so they wouldn't have the time that he had. You know, that was his goal, was to help change the world and for the better.
I know I look clean cut, stuff like that, but there's a lot of things I used to do that I'm not proud of.
His way of changing the world is to introduce troubled youth to Christianity.
I'm not claiming to be holy. I'm just claiming to be saved.
You know, he was a man that was trying to seek God, and at that time, he was into it.
Cut. All right. Then we're gonna go to the.
Lilius is impressed. Tony is 20 years her junior, but he's ambitious and committed to God.
I like it. You got something here, Tony.
Right.
It's a powerful message.
So when she learns he's trying to start up a rap music label, she offers to get involved.
He spoke about wanting to do concerts and wanting to do so many different things. And I think that she got caught up in that.
These guys are unsigned?
Not signed yet, but we gotta snap them up.
She just got involved right away, you know, just head first, and just helping him with choosing groups and organizing.
Hey, Lilius, you gotta meet Ernest.
With Lilius's involvement, they name the label Shock the World Entertainment.
Ernest, very nice to meet you.
You hear that beatboxing?
I hear that.
It's beautiful, right?
Yeah, it sounds fantastic.
Thanks, man. It's cool you guys are getting this thing going.
I was signed to their label. It was like my first record deal ever. I was only 16, 17 years old, you know?
I mean, it needs some work, but you get what we're doing here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like the first time that I heard a gospel artist rapping. Everything had a message. A deep message to it, you know?
So how do we get this out there? How do we work on this?
Well, I think you and I should talk about that.
I think we should.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Using the local public library as a meeting place, Shock the World gets serious.
We'll all get a table. We'll sit down, and Tony, Lilius, and a couple of artists.
Tone came in strictly as a businessman at first. Like, it was like the coolest dude. Yeah, clean and clean cut suits all the time.
Our Lord, please help us shock the world with our love, our music, and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
People had a lot of faith in Tone because Tone was dedicated and he was making stuff happen.
Amen.
Amen.
No one's making any money yet.
All right, man. All right. Have a good one. All right?
Whew. Tony works as a cleaner at nearby Kent State University. And Lilius keeps her job at the mortgage company.
I'm telling you, sis.
But they are full of hope for the label's future.
You, me, and Mom, everything will be taken care of.
She called me and told me that they had this business, and she was just elated. And she told me, she says, oh, sister, he says we're gonna make so much money that you'll never have to worry about working again.
All right, meeting adjourned, it's been good.
Slowly, as they spend more time together, both counseling and in the studio, Lilius and Tony fall deeply in love. But they don't tell a soul, not yet.
What can I say? We are lucky to have you.
I'm just glad I could help you out.
What are you doing here anyway? You could be spending your time breaking hearts in Hollywood.
You know what? I'd rather be here with you.
It was strictly business that I saw, you know, as far as on my end. They hid their whole love for each other. They never showed anybody that, you know what I mean?
There's like a 20-year age difference, so that was a lot. I just didn't think of them as romantically involved.
Psychotherapist Stacy Kaiser and forensic psychologist Brian Russell see a match that has potential for problems.
I've seen a lot of relationships with a big age difference work. However, it does often pose some challenges. They might be worried that they're being judged, and that kind of worry about judgment or judgment can hurt a relationship.
When you have a relationship like Lilius's and Tony's, where it appears that one person is quite a bit more powerful, they're older, they've got a better financial setup, they're more established, whatever, it seems clear where the power differential lies.
But I also think that this relationship is really playing into Lilius's rescuer personality. She sees the diamond in the rough, and Tony's sort of this lost boy that she's gonna take under her wing and help.
Just months after partnering up, Tony and Lilius have hired a music producer and signed three artists. They're pooling their personal savings to buy studio time.
Yo, E. Take that bridge again, all right?
We were just working hard in the studio, like every twice a week, you know?
Just slow it down, man. Just take your time with it.
Tone would come in and sit through the sessions and make sure everything was perfect, you know, had to be right. Lilius would come in the studio and hear the stuff and say, like it, shake her head, like it, wink, and be like, it's great, and then go on about her business, what she was doing with her time or whatever.
Tony, this sounds amazing.
Thanks, babe.
It seemed like there was a little bit more going on than just maybe business. It wasn't like they were touching each other or announced it. I just saw them spending more time together.
How you doing?
As their clandestine romance is slowly revealed, so too are the signs of discord and the first hint of jealousy.
You know, Leonard was a man. Lilius was beautiful. Who wouldn't want to be with her?
Despite the 20-year age difference, former actress Lilius Landrum and music entrepreneur Tony Smith have embarked on a secret love affair. But their love hits a roadblock right away.
Hey, Tony, come on up.
How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Tony is jealous of Lilius's roommate.
You know, Leonard was a man. Lilius was beautiful. Who wouldn't want to be with her?
What's with him?
He's like, yeah, she got this guy living there, and he was scared of him, and he didn't want to step on no toes or, you know, cause no problems, though.
What the?
I asked her if there's a romantic, you know, spark involved, and she said absolutely not. He's too... His mind is too gone. There's absolutely no way there could be a connection.
It turns out that Tony isn't the only one worried about Leonard.
I'd pull up and there's this man and he's just acting like a kook, you know, like on the front porch and just, I thought, you know, Lilius, are you okay? Are you safe? This doesn't seem like a safe situation. And she's, oh, he's okay, he's fine.
Don't worry about him, he's harmless.
Lilius can explain Leonard's strange behavior.
Oh, no.
She says he's traumatized by the violence he witnessed in prison.
Lilius didn't care what color you were. She didn't care how big you were, how skinny you were. She didn't care. She just wanted to help people.
Concerns about Leonard are short-lived. A few months later, he finds his own place.
It was almost like one day He just wasn't there. It just seemed like he found a place to live and that he was just moving on.
I think he just disappeared and let her get on with her life, you know.
Okay, guys, so I have a journalist. He wants to meet the both of you, talk to you guys, photographs, and I think he'll cover you guys quite well. What do you think? Yeah? I think it sounds pretty good, too.
All right, so what are we talking about?
With Leonard out of the picture, Tony moves in.
These two guys and Tom. And
it raises a few eyebrows.
Photographs and the whole bit.
Well, I guess we should get back to it.
He wasn't homeless or anything. She always took in, like, homeless people. So it was like, okay, he moved in. He wasn't homeless. They're going everywhere together. Maybe there's something to this.
It soon becomes clear it's more than something.
What's that over there?
I didn't really realize how close they were until she actually told me that they were thinking about getting married.
Donna, I have something to show you.
Congratulations, I guess.
So I said, all right, we'll go for it, you know, whatever makes you happy.
Lilius seems to have found her soulmate.
I just got the impression that they just really clicked.
There's just one wrinkle Lilius needs to iron out before they can tie the knot.
Lilius wasn't able to actually marry Tony because she was married already to a man that she married from high school.
His name is John Jenkins, and though they separated almost 20 years before, after a short-lived marriage, they never divorced.
He had moved out of state, and I think everyone had totally forgotten about that entire relationship.
I think she just maybe never saw herself wanting to get remarried at any time.
Lilius is afraid to tell Tony the truth.
Tone didn't know Lilius was married.
I don't know that they had ever talked about that at all.
So Lilius turns out to still be married to someone whom she hasn't seen for years. And what that says to me is Lilius may not be as concerned as I would like to see about ending one thing before starting another.
I'm going to give Lilius the benefit of the doubt here. She may have decided not to get divorced before because it was complicated or they couldn't afford it, but she hasn't needed to get divorced. This is the first time that she's found a relationship where she's actually considered getting married again, and so now she's having to deal with what she didn't have to deal with in the past. If she's going to move forward with a new life, she needs to finally get closure on the old life.
Hello.
John.
Lilius decides she must call her estranged husband to ask for a divorce.
Look, John, I know this is out of the blue, but there's something that I need to ask. I need a divorce.
You want a what? Are you serious?
She knew that he left and went to a southern state, but, you know, she had no contact with him.
She's nervous and has no idea what to expect.
He said, don't divorce me, because if you divorce me, I'll go to jail because I'm married to somebody else.
Hello? Are you there?
I just said, you know, Lilius, he's a bigamist.
Don't call here again.
A bigamist with a secret to keep and maybe an axe to grind.
He threatened her. Don't divorce me because that'll get me in trouble and I'm going to come after you, kind of thing.
Now she must tell her true love the truth.
She told him, she said, we can't get married.
I know it's something I should have mentioned.
Yeah. Wow, this is unreal.
I don't care about the cake and the ceremonies and the white dresses. I just want to be with you.
Tony doesn't let the revelation faze him. Instead of marriage, he agrees to a special commitment ceremony.
They were just going to spend a weekend, and then they were just going to do vows to God, just in a spiritual sense.
They hold the ceremony on Lilius's 43rd birthday in a Michigan hotel room.
I promise to be loyal, to love you, to support you, to laugh with you.
I didn't know why she didn't invite anyone to the services at all. But she said we made a commitment to each other, we're married, and that they were happy.
May God be our witness. You ready?
Ready.
Then next thing you know, they walk in the studio and Tone was like, yeah, me and Lilius got married. Like, it was really like a shock, like, wow, you got some good game. Like, what, you know what I mean? It was like that, you know? Like, congratulations, homie, you know what I mean?
You guys, check this out.
Get a man, Tone. Oh, yeah. Seriously.
It was weird. Marriage, you know, that's heavy. I just really couldn't believe it.
Wow, I had no idea. Congratulations.
She just appeared to be so mature, you know. Tony was like this younger guy. You know, they were like night and day.
I'm happy for you, but truly. I wish you all the happiness in the world.
I was happy for Tone, you know, that's all I can say. Why wouldn't you be happy for somebody who found the love of his life?
Tony and Lilius may have found love, but that's not all.
He wasn't right in his head.
They were using a bucket in the basement as a toilet. I think they were in dire straits.
Tony and Lilius hold a spiritual wedding instead of a legal one because her estranged husband won't agree to a divorce. But instead of making Tony feel secure, getting hitched seems to make him feel unhinged. His rap lyrics become more and more bizarre.
I think they were religious scriptures written, ranting. Some of them were in poem form, as if he would have a thought and he'd write it down.
Shut it off!
He might have went overboard a little bit with religion. He would, like, you know, overdo it just a little bit. So kind of on the borderline of fanatic, but he still had a heart for God.
Then, just a few weeks after the commitment ceremony, a distressed Tony seeks help.
Tom was searching for some help, it seemed like. It was some type of mental thing. He wasn't right in his head.
When a person typically gets married, they calm down. They're more relaxed. They settle in. They nest. And the fact that that's not what is happening with Tony and Lilius is concerning to me.
We know that sometimes if there is a mental illness process brewing, that a stressful event like a marriage or a move or a career change can be something that sort of turns up the thermostat enough to cause that disease process to sort of kick on.
Tony's mental state only seems to make his jealousy worse. Everyone notices he's more protective of Lilius than ever before, especially when it comes to her male friends, who include Leonard, her ex-roommate.
She may have had contact with, you know, a couple male individuals, nothing romantic, just, you know, casual acquaintances or to that extent. And I think that he probably was jealous at that point in time.
He did seem to be, have some jealous bones in his body, if you will.
In hindsight, looking back, it seems like maybe their relationship may have taken a turn.
In an effort to make her spiritual spouse feel secure, Lilius assures Tony, in her heart, there is no one else. She starts to distance herself from friends.
They got married and it was like, okay, new chapter of my life. You know, it's been real, I'll see ya around.
She even puts it in writing.
She sent a letter to all of her friends saying, You know, basically, Tony and I got married, and, you know, we had a ceremony, and new chapter of my life, moving on. You might not hear from me. That was the gist of it. I just remember being angry after I read it and throwing it away.
She also walks away from her family.
Tony Smith put a wedge in between her and her family. He made her pick him over them. You know, he was younger than her, but he wanted to be, you know, the man in the relationship. He wanted to be in charge. And I think it was his way of testing her, her loyalty to him. If you really love me, you'll pick me over them.
The couple remains committed to the label, but people notice that Lilius isn't front and center anymore.
All right, it's fine. It's good. Cut it. Let's get it out the door.
No, no, it's not working for me. It's lagging. It's not ready, no.
Sounds decent to me. Lilius, what do you think?
It's your call, Tony.
Before they became that couple, she would speak up about anything that crossed her mind. You know, she was straightforward. Where when she got married, she stepped back a little, you know, and let her husband speak more.
I noticed her pull back a little bit and kind of let him, you know, take that leadership or that control over the topics or the situations that was going on.
Their friends chalk it up to stress.
That looks great.
They're preparing for their first major concert, a showcase featuring a full slate of emerging artists.
We got what we need.
Yeah, it was very exciting. We was getting prepared for like a month or two, you know what I mean? And it was gonna be like our debut. We was gonna just let the world know that we were here.
And suddenly, the couple goes AWOL, missing an important meeting.
We would go past the house and they wouldn't even answer the door. They wouldn't answer the phone, which was weird, because they were all about their timing and everything was punctual. They didn't show up for our meeting. They didn't call and say that the meeting was postponed.
They reappear just as suddenly.
Sorry, guys. We just had some personal business to take care of.
So, like, 2 weeks later, they contacted us and rescheduled the meeting. So, but everybody was like, okay, we still back on course for our showcase. Okay, let's go.
Can't smoke in here, man.
He was looking like he had a lot of stress on him, a lot of, on his mind. You could tell something wasn't right, you know what I mean? It was kind of sad, you know.
Nobody realizes the financial pressure they're under.
I thought everything was going great.
I heard about the financial troubles after the fact. They really didn't put their problems off on anybody else.
In fact, Tony's no longer working at the university.
It was just temporary for the summer, so it just kind of fizzled out.
And Lilius isn't processing loans.
Our company was going under. They were downsizing, and they kind of got rid of a lot of people, and I was one of the only ones to stay.
They've sunk so much money into the label.
Man, they cut the power.
That they've fallen way behind on bills.
They said they would, and they did.
Obviously, they were using their money to put into the studio for us for studio time and stuff like that.
The label was taken off, but it wasn't taken off quickly. They were still pouring all their money into it.
The situation has become so bad that all their utilities have been shut off.
I think they were in dire straits. Obviously, they had no running water. They were using a bucket in the basement as a toilet. So I think their financial situation was very serious.
Lilia seems to me like a person who wants to see the best in people, wants to be the eternal optimist, wants to find excuses for other people's faults and shortcomings. And so it looks to me like she may be doing that at this point to a fault, where all of the evidence is pointing to a need for them to change course as a couple immediately, maybe go and get regular jobs, maybe try to pursue this music thing again sometime later when they're on better financial footing. And yet she's sort of doubling down on it.
When I take a look at Lilius and Tony's situation and their priorities and where they're putting their money, it concerns me. They are not having their basic needs met. They are not eating correctly. They are living in a place that does not have any electricity or water. They are using a bucket to go to the bathroom. These are all the kinds of things that will really set them up for a professional and personal crisis.
After months of silence, Lilius's family reaches out. Lilius and Tony agree to a family dinner with her ailing mother and stepfather.
Our Father, Lord Jesus, our brother, we praise you for saving us. Bless us in your love as we gather in your name and bless this meal.
When Tony is asked to say grace, he is anything but gracious.
This meal is a sign of your love for us, despite what you did to me.
The night that she came over, for dinner. He had said a prayer for dinner, and it went on and on and on.
If there be any poor creature hungry or thirsty walking along the road, or poor ass sorry specimen like me, send them into us that we can share the food with them the way that you share your gifts with all of us. And bless those around me. Despite what they have done to me, since I have to piss in a bucket each and every damn day.
I think this could use some warming up.
He prayed so long and so fervent and so strangely that they had to reheat the food. And it was very just intense, and they were, you know, her mom was like, okay, it's just very strange.
The rest of the dinner doesn't improve.
I know what you did to me. I could taste it.
He thought that they were trying to poison him with the food. Just very bizarre.
Even Lilius becomes worried.
She said she was kind of half afraid of him because he was acting so strangely.
Lilius is at her wit's end. She confesses to Donna she's going to leave Tony, even though it will likely mean leaving the label too.
Lilius was like, okay, this is coming to an end. It was too weird for Lilius.
But a few days go by, and nobody hears from either Lilius or Tony again. And when the couple's landlord and a neighbor check up on them, they smell trouble, literally.
The neighbor had smelled something coming from the apartment where Tony and Lilius lived.
What they see is shocking, and they call 911. But the police are not prepared for the full horror of this grisly crime scene.
It was very gruesome, and it's something you don't forget.
The trail of blood starts in the kitchen.
I'd describe it as blood everywhere. I mean, there was blood smeared down on the steps leading downstairs to the basement. On the steps, there was pools of blood.
What they find will be more horrific than they could ever have imagined. After Lilius Landrum and Tony Smith go missing for several days, police search the apartment. They're unprepared for the gory scene that awaits them. Police first find the body of a woman, decapitated.
Her head was perfectly intact. It was sitting in that bucket.
Lilius Landrum has been brutally murdered at the age of 43.
The news came on, and they showed Fern Street, where she lived, and they showed her apartment building. Lilius was such a giving person, and she didn't even think about herself forever. And for her to be murdered in this fashion, so brutally, it was incomprehensible.
I was wondering who would do this to her, or who would do something to her, what kind of accident, what happened to her. Like, it was like not unbelievable.
By the time her body is found, Lilias has been dead for days.
It was a shocker, especially when we found out how she was actually killed with the decapitation and everything.
And when the police process the crime scene, they find the murder weapon.
It was a ordinary kitchen steak knife, and it took a lot. I mean, there's a lot of bones and cartilage in your neck, and it's very difficult to cut through that. So A, it took some time, and B, there was huge emotion involved. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
The way that Lilias was killed is one of the most gruesome, dehumanizing ways that you could possibly kill someone. It was coming from such a place of rage that they wanted to hurt the person as much as possible to the point that they separated their head from their body.
Putting the head in the bucket of urine is sort of a final degradation, a final statement of how devalued the killer felt about Lilias.
Upon further analysis of the scene, one thing stands out to homicide detectives.
In the midst of all these pools of blood, there's one step that had a perfect imprint of a foot in blood. And not the type where you have to go dust it with the black dust that they do for fingerprints. I mean, this was, you know, walking through a pool of blood and then walking up the steps and leaving a footprint right on the step.
They are now looking for a man whose foot matches the print left in blood on the basement stairs.
The police found indications that she had already been married, never divorced.
I did think, well, maybe it could be Lilias's husband that lived down south. I did tell the police that her husband said, don't divorce me or I'm coming after you.
Police quickly eliminate Lilias's legal husband, John Jenkins, as a suspect. He lives out of state and has had no contact with Lilias since the phone call. There's also Leonard, Lilias's former roommate and ex-con, who, as it turns out, was incarcerated for murder. And even more shocking is what he saw on the inside.
He saw a murder in jail, a decapitation, somebody being decapitated in a jail in the prison riot, and he kind of suffered mentally from that.
Oh, no.
I said, it's got to be Leonard. It has to be Leonard. He was crazy. And the police said, okay, and they took down my statement. And they said, well, where do you think Tony is? Because we can't find Tony. And I said, well, I would bet that Tony would be, like, locked in a trunk dead somewhere.
It was like, what could have happened to him and what would they have done to him? And so the concern was for his safety.
You know, I really felt like maybe it was a ransom or a kidnapping went bad or something like that, because she's definitely dead and he's missing.
6 days after Lilias's body is found, Akron police locate Tony.
He was being pursued by a local police department down there for other reasons. I think he might have failed to stop at a stop sign. They try to pull him over for a traffic violation.
But instead of pulling over, Tony steps on the gas.
And he runs. And when I say runs, he flees in the vehicle. He's driving, you know, erratically at high rates of speed.
Is he running out of fear or guilt?
The only way to get rid of the devil was to cut the head off of the devil.
After Lilias Landrum, age 43, is brutally beheaded, Lilias's common law husband, Tony Smith, is tracked down in a neighboring county. But is he running from the law or a killer on the loose? It takes an accident to find out.
He then ultimately crashes that vehicle and he's apprehended by the Whitehall Police Department.
Whitehall police throw Tony in jail.
He was brought back to Akron, was interviewed.
I swear to God, if I remembered, I would tell you.
claimed he couldn't remember what had happened.
Meanwhile, Lilius' ex-roommate Leonard is also located.
Call Sam. He's gonna back me up on this. I was crashing at his place that whole week.
And he provides a solid alibi.
I know they established his whereabouts in the 3 or 4 day time period that they think this crime might have happened, and they determined he wasn't the suspect.
So police are left with just one suspect, Tony.
They asked him for a footprint. And instead of fingerprints, they did a footprint, just like they do fingerprints. They literally brought in an ink pad and had him step on it and then stand up and step on a piece of paper. And it was, you know, an identical match. And so they had him leaving the scene of the crime, walking through the blood.
Faced with the evidence, Tony now admits he killed Lilius, but he says he had no choice.
God made him do it. You know, some voice came to him through, you know, a spiritual being and told him to do this. That's what he initially had claimed.
Tone felt that Lilius pulled him into an adulterous relationship. He would look at her as the one who separated him from God. So cutting her head off might have been a righteous act in the eyes of Tone in that state.
Tony said that he felt that Lilius had the devil inside of her, and the only way to get rid of the devil was to cut the head off of the devil.
Police now try and piece together the events leading to this horrific act.
Tony! Tony! Knock it off! What are you doing?
What the police had determined was that the altercation might have started in the kitchen.
The Lord won't allow me to continue this adulterous, obscene depravity.
They don't know whether the attack followed an argument or if it was unprovoked.
Some of the cutting, most of the cutting, may have happened on the steps leading down, which is where the majority of the blood was.
Flashlight.
And then he takes her, I don't know, drags her, carries her, and gets her into the basement.
As a final act of desecration, he places her head in the bucket of urine. Tony is charged with aggravated murder.
I was in absolute disbelief. I couldn't believe it was Tony. That wasn't the man that I knew, the man that I saw, the man that played superheroes with my son. That wasn't the same man.
To find out that he could do something this horrific was just... You still don't have words for it.
He pleads not guilty by reason of insanity.
Tone did that. I don't really believe it was him that was doing it. I believe he was possessed at that point in time. Because a normal person can't just sit there and cut somebody's head off. You have to be in a delusional state to actually do that.
Prosecutors say it's possible Tony suffered from mental illness. But they argue he was sane enough to realize the seriousness of his crime.
It's evidenced by him fleeing. He left the scene of the crime. He locked up the house. He took his belongings. He was running to avoid being detected. He was trying to establish an alibi. Oh, I've been here for 4 or 5 days.
Another theory holds that it was rage, not madness, that led Tony to kill. After Lilius told him she was leaving him.
How could you? You promised.
You made a vow before God!
They found her bags packed at the scene. It looked like she was leaving.
Maybe that's what sparked the argument. Maybe she finally told him enough was enough and that she was moving and leaving, and he decided he wasn't going to let her go.
The defense argument would be that at the time Tony beheaded Lilias, he was in the throes of a psychotic episode where he didn't know what he was doing or that it was wrong.
If a person truly was having such a psychotic break that they were not aware of reality, then what Tony would have done is he would have decapitated Lilias and he would have run out into the streets and told everyone, I have freed her, she is saved. And instead what he did was run. He stole a car and he fled. And that shows guilt, and that means he knew that what he did was wrong.
Psychological experts deem Tony sane enough to stand trial for aggravated murder. But instead, he accepts a deal and pleads guilty to the lesser crime of murder, thereby avoiding a lengthy court case.
I mean, it would have been a very, very emotional trial with gruesome evidence, and the end result is the same. Tony Smith's in prison. Tony Smith will probably spend the rest of his natural life in prison, and he'll never get out to hurt somebody again.
I think that as long as he's locked up, that justice is served.
To this day, Lilias remains dearly missed by the many people she touched.
Both of these people gave me hope.
Her sincerity is what I miss. You don't find that quality in people nowadays. I wish she was here. Yeah, I'd give anything to have Lilias back.